Our reading for the sermon passage this morning is Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. And then we're going to look at a passage in the New Testament, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I know you're viewing from home, but I would encourage you to take out a Bible and open it and follow along and keep that open during the sermon so you can see how what the sermon is about flows out of the scriptures. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then hear these words from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There are many negatives to this global pandemic. From a health perspective, people are getting sick and dying. From an emotional standpoint, people are grieving the loss of loved ones, fearful of the future, full of anxiety about whether they're going to have a job tomorrow or next week. From a financial perspective, businesses are taking a big hit. People are losing jobs. Unemployment is hitting historic highs. From a relational point of view, people are missing the physical presence of friends. These are difficult days, and we all understand that and sympathize with those who are hurting. However, this morning, I want us to consider a very positive side effect of this imposed time of quarantine. To do so, we're going to look at a well-known section of Scripture, the Ten Commandments, and we're going to focus on the fourth commandment, which we just read about. The positive side effect of this time of quarantine is that God has imposed upon us a slower pace of life. He's giving us an opportunity to rest. As we unpack these scriptures, we're going to structure the sermon under 2 points. First, the Sabbath's physical dimension, and then second, the Sabbath's spiritual dimension. Let us look at the first point, the Sabbath's physical dimension. Americans are hard workers. It's one of our core values. We have no problem in honoring and obeying with vigor the 6 days thou shalt work part of this commandment. In an article by Mark Abadi, published in the British newspaper The Independent on November 7th, 2017, the article is titled, "Six American Work Habits People in Other Countries Think Are Ridiculous." He writes, a Gallup report from 2014 established that the average full-time worker in the United States works 47 hours a week. And I know some of you are thinking, 47? I wish I only worked 47 hours a week. That's one of the highest figures in the world, and it's significantly higher than the rates in Western Europe. Our counterparts in Germany are working on average 35 hours a week. So what are the six American work habits that people in other countries think are ridiculous? Well, those that pertain to what we're doing this morning are this. We work crazy long hours. We never go on vacation. Europeans, on average, have 5 weeks a year for vacation, and they use it. Most Americans have 2 weeks or less, and only 54% of those people use it, or of Americans use it. Americans never take family leave. It's not an option. But in a number of European countries, when a child is born, both father and mother are given time to be at home with the baby. They seldom take breaks during the day. They send emails after work hours. Clearly, we know how to work, but do we know how to rest? The fourth commandment points out the moral imperative of work, but it also points out the moral imperative of rest. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. We understand those moral principles. But what about this one? Exodus 20:10. You shall not do any work. Our frenzied, chaotic, overly busy lives are out of step with our Creator's design for us. David Murray, a Reformed minister from Scotland, residing in the United States now, wrote a book called Reset, a book that I've really enjoyed reading over the last couple of months. And listen to what he says. Lots of people call God creator, but live like evolutionists. It's as if life is about survival of the fittest rather than about living like a dependent creature, trusting our Creator rather than ourselves, and according to our Maker's instructions. Very striking words by Mr. Murray. In the Old Testament, there were three levels to the Sabbath principle. There was what we find in the fourth commandment. There was a weekly rest, a rhythm to life. 6 days you work and labor, but on the seventh day you slow it down and you rest, you and all of your employees. So there's a weekly dimension. Then then 3 times a year there were holidays for the Jewish people, roughly a week, sometimes a little more than that, but a week-long break, Sabbath rest built into their yearly cycle. And then after a course of 7 years, 6 years the land was to be worked, and then on the seventh year, for a whole year, the farmers in Israel were to give their land a break. It's an awareness, this Sabbath principle, this call for us to stop, to cease, to rest. It's an awareness that human nature is finite. We're not built to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We need rest. This is exemplified in the life of Jesus. And in fact, he adds another layer to this. There is a pattern in his daily life where he imposes upon himself little Sabbath breaks. If you turn to Luke's gospel in chapter 4, verse 7, in chapter 5, verse 16, and in chapter 6, verse 12, you see Jesus in the midst of his ministry, in the midst of his work day, stepping back from his busy schedule to spend time with God, to rest with his Creator. It's interesting when you reflect upon the Sabbath principle in the Old Testament, the rest principle in the Old Testament. The Jews did a poor job of implementing this weekly, in their three times a year holidays, but especially giving up that year. And you can imagine, think about it, giving up a whole year of farming. What does that require? A whole lot of trust that God is going to take care of you. A whole lot of living in dependence upon your Creator. So they struggled with this 6 year work of the fields and then giving their fields a break. Now, because of this neglect, God imposed a 70-year ban from the promised land. You ever thought about why the Exodus from the land of Israel happened? Well, there's many reasons. They broke covenant with God. But one of the reasons given in 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 21, and it's founded upon passages in Leviticus chapter 25 and especially Leviticus chapter 26. We see that God imposed 70 years of rest upon the land of Israel because they neglected the Sabbath principle. God imposed rest through the exile. And God, in his wise providence, has forced us to slow down because of the coronavirus. And what I want you to see is that this is a time of opportunity. It is an act of mercy on God's part. He is giving us, as nations and globally, in our families, he's giving us much needed rest. Now, I realize this doesn't apply to everyone, but in some ways, it applies to most of us. Think about it. Some of the more disappointing aspects of this occurred to me pretty early, and I realized this thing was going to be a real and significant issue in our country when the NBA decided to cancel their season. What do you think it takes for the leaders of the NBA to cancel their season? From a business standpoint, that is suicidal. They were taking it seriously. And then shortly after that, the NCAA canceled all of their conference basketball tournaments, and they canceled March Madness. What am I going to do? I can't come home and watch basketball anymore. Following that, we heard of movie theaters canceling, gyms canceling or closing their doors, restaurants moving to takeaway orders only. God is restricting our possibilities for entertainment. No school runs for many parents. Sports practices. Think of how busy you might be if your kid is playing baseball right now, going one, two, maybe three times a week to baseball practice, traveling for weekend tournaments. All of that has been put on hold. No ballet or dance lessons for your daughters. No trips to the gym, as I've already mentioned. No tennis matches at the tennis club. No golfing. No music lessons. No Mississippi State baseball games. Fewer meetings. God has placed us on a sabbatical. He has slowed the pace of life. Harry Reeder, pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, wrote a pastoral letter, and this is one of the points he made in his pastoral letter. I want to share it with you. Harry Reeder writes this: "Let me share another pastoral perspective in relation to the coronavirus. many of us who are challenged with an overly busy life now do not have an overly busy life. So instead of filling the newly created spaces with binge TV or isolating computer games, why not read a book as a family? Develop our personal quiet time, family worship. Go to the park, the woods, or open spaces for a family walk. In other words, take advantage of these days to recalibrate, to refresh, and to renew, to Sabbath, to rest. By putting into the empty spaces what is really important, those habits of the heart, God's word and prayer and family relationships that need time and attention. Think of how you can use this imposed period of rest to recalibrate priorities. If Jesus, the perfect man, in those passages that we looked at or that I mentioned to you earlier in Luke's gospel, if he needed to pull back and to take a break so that he could spend time in communion with his Father, he's the perfect man. How much more do you think you need that? What are your priorities in terms of how your time is being spent? Are you spending appropriate time with God? Are you spending appropriate time in prayer? Are you taking time to be with your wife and to cultivate that relationship? Time with your children? But how about this? Time to simply rest. So we see the Sabbath's physical dimension. Now let us turn our attention to the Sabbath's spiritual dimension. The Sabbath is rooted in two things, creation and redemption. It's rooted in creation, and it's pointing forward to God's goal of redemption. The Ten Commandments are found in two places in the Old Testament, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And if you read those passages dealing with the fourth commandment, they're slightly different in the emphasis that they place on the reason for the fourth commandment. In Exodus 20, the passage that we looked at, the focus is on the Sabbath following a pattern of creation. We're told that we're to keep the Sabbath rest because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Before the fall, Adam and Eve and their offspring would labor in the expanding of the kingdom of God until it covered the entire earth. So the Sabbath week, according to the creation model, was pointing them to their goal. They're to labor, to work, to expand the kingdom of God, ultimately until they covered the whole earth and entered into the rest, the eternal rest with God. Now, Deuteronomy 5, the second place where we find the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, the focus is on the rest that we find in redemption from our enemies. Moses writes in Deuteronomy 5, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." It points us to God as our Savior, the one who delivers us from our great enemy, the devil, sin, and death. Jesus speaks of this redemptive rest when he said in that passage in Matthew 11 that we read, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you Sabbath. What is he talking about? What's the spiritual dimension? What should rest on this regular 6 days of work, one day of rest, what should it trigger in our minds? It should draw us back to the work of Christ. Why does God give us a day to worship together and to cease from our worldly labors and entertainments so that we can remember the work of our Savior? We labor, and the Jews especially, we labor under the yoke of the moral law. It's heavy. It's burdensome. We strive to be good enough for God, but we fail because we're slaves to sin. We labor in a fallen world. We are surrounded by weakness and temptation. Our work environment is spiritually contaminated. We work under the constant attack of the devil. And we labor carrying around with us the weight of the remnant of sin. Jesus offers us spiritual rest through his saving work. We rest from the works of the law because he completes them for us. We rest from the fear and anxiety of God's wrath because he endured it on a cross. We rest from the spiritual insufficiencies of our fallen nature because he took on flesh and initiated a new creation. We are new creatures in him. So what are the lessons that we learn each time this rhythm and pattern of the Lord's Day comes? It's interesting that we, in the time of Christ, we move from what in the Old Testament was the seventh day to the first day of the week. Our Sunday, our Lord's Day, is the first day of the week. It reminds us that we have rested from our works and we are accepted before God. It is finished. We have peace with God. But this day of rest also encourages us to anticipate with great excitement the consummation of eternal rest when Christ returns and our bodies, like his, are raised from the dead. And this is what the author of Hebrews mentions in Hebrews chapter 4. So there are many negatives about what we're going through. But there is one positive side effect. God is causing us to slow down. Physically, it's a mercy and a blessing. Spiritually, it refocuses our attention on Jesus Christ and his ultimate purpose of giving us eternal rest in paradise with the Father. Amen.